Well, praise the Lord. We continuing on with our study in Hebrews 11, and believe it or not, we're still in the same verse, verse 32. Hebrews 11 has so many surprises for us. And it's amazing how you can just get into one verse and start studying the Old Testament. But you know, it said that the time would not allow there in Hebrews 11:32. There's a reason why he said what he said there about not having enough time to explain these different people that he just kind of mentioned and brushed over there in the book of Hebrews 11. And say, what shall I, 11:32, it says, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. In other words, I don't have the space or the time to really go through and tell you about all of these different heroes of the faith that are all included in Hebrews 11. And there are many others that are excluded just because it's just not enough time. There's so many. And if you will, I believe that the Bible is still being written in heaven. I believe that Acts is not a closed book. I believe that we're going to find many, many, many more chapters and verses of Acts, or whatever the book might be named. Maybe it'll be the Heavenly Record or the New Church Age. But I believe God is keeping record. I know the Bible talks about books in heaven. It talks about names being kept in books of heaven. And it also talks about the book of life. So there are books in heaven, legitimate books. But those are the two main ones they mention. I'm just kind of surmising on my own that there's a record that's being kept on our lives. And there has to be some record because there comes a time for rewards. There comes a time for judgment. Well, what's it going to be based on? It's going to be based on what's happened in your life. What's the reward going to be based on? Based upon how you live your Christian life. And what's the loss is going to be based on how you, what you did or what you did not do or how you accepted or received. It's not always a physical thing that God requires. Sometimes he might want you to just trust him. He might want you to lean on him, which I know he does that much. But we are going to continue on with our study. This morning we're going to talk about one man who's a powerful man, Samson. I thought we would talk about Samson and Jephthah, but when I finished my study on Samson, I said, oh, I can only talk about one. And it's got to be him. So, Lord, as we approach your word today, we approach it, Lord, with fear and trepidation, knowing that it is your word. Lord, help us not to be afraid to speak your truth, but help us also to be circumspect with how we handle it. And help us, Lord, to keep our minds in the right place, knowing that it's your word, and it's not ours. So settle us down, Lord, and help us to be respectful. Help us to be reverent concerning you and your word. And teach us your truth about faith as it appeared in the life of your man, Samson. In Jesus' name, amen. Judges chapter 13 tells us of the story of Samson's faith. 13 through 16 tells us about the life of Samson. We're going to go through these and talk about this great man, Samson. He was a child of promise, special child. And from the very beginning, he was devoted to the Lord. And Samson was a man of great strength. And believe it or not, he also had some infirmities as well. His parents received the word about him, and Samson came on the scene. Hebrews 13:1 says the story of Samson starts with a recurring statement. And it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." I continue to come across this statement. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." It's recurring. But the main sections of the book of Judges reflect a cycle which Israel seemed unable to escape. Time and time again, Israel would fall into apostasy. God would send a deliverer. He first would send an oppressor. Israel would repent, and then God would send a deliverer. And that continued to happen. And then when there was peace and prosperity, everything went well. And then Israel would fall away again. But every time Israel found themselves in a place of peace, God caused the enemies of Israel to fight among themselves. And then every time Israel would fall again, then the enemies would gain advantage over Israel. Tells us a lot. It tells us a lot. That as long as we're walking close with Him, our enemies are confused and routed, and they can't seem to come together to launch a proper attack against us. But when we began to fall prey to our enemy and fall prey to those matters that the Bible tells us not to, we find ourselves in a lot of trouble sometimes. We find ourselves in some really bad places. And it's even though Israel, this is a type, we have to do the same thing. We have to repent. We have to change and begin to walk in those areas that we are familiar with. I counted 7 examples of this phrase that Israel sinned in the sight of the Lord. Just 7. That was just examples, but there are gobs of them. I just stopped at 7 just to tell you that there is, it's a recurring thing. It's not something that they did once or twice. It's something that they did over and over and over and over again. And I can't be too critical, but I sure thank God for His blessed Holy Spirit. Because of the power of the Spirit, we don't have that same experience. We don't. We have our little times and little moments, but we don't hang around there too long because you know what? We don't have to. God doesn't have to send a deliverer because He's already delivered us. We are delivered in Christ. That's the good part. We are totally delivered in Christ. Many of the champions of the faith, most of the times they're birthed out of needs. And it's a need that Israel had for a deliverer to deliver them out of bondage. If there was no bondage, they were happy. And they got in there, and there must have, you know how you get used to something and you start taking it for granted. And then all of a sudden you're going too far, you're going past the line. And they did that time and time again. The verse says in verse 1 that it was the Lord that delivered Israel into the hand of the Philistine. God delivered them into the hands of the Philistine, which says if the Lord does it, if He doesn't do it, if He doesn't allow it, it will not happen. God is in control. It says there in verse 1, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Verse 2 there in Judges 13, we find here some instructions that were given, starting 2 through 14, that was given to Samson's parents. Manoah of Zorah was from the tribe of Dan, and his wife was barren. We've seen this often in our study, that the women are barren. And an angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and announced that she would bear a son. She was told not to drink any wine or strong drink, and to not eat any unclean thing. She said that no razor should come on the head of the child, because he will be a Nazarite from the womb, and that he would begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Not that it would be total, but he would begin the process. She told her husband about this. She said, a man came to visit me, and this is what he told me. And so her husband, Manoah, then began to entreat the Lord. He began to pray and say, Lord, please send this man back so he can talk to us, so he can instruct me and tell me what things should be done. And sure enough, this man showed up again unto Manoah's wife, and she ran and told her husband. And he came and met the man and said, are you the man that appeared the other day? And he says, I am. And then he says, well, tell me, how should we care for the child? And the man repeated again to Manoah the same thing that he had said to his wife about the Nazarite vow. And so he just came back, no razors had come to his hand. She should not drink any strong drink or wine, and don't eat any unclean things. So he just repeated the whole thing. And so Manoah decides there in verse 15 of Judges 13 that he was going to make a sacrifice. And so he decided to go that route. After receiving the instructions, Manoah requested that the angel just wait for a while. I'm going to go and get a kid. That'd be a baby goat or a baby sheep. And I'm going to bring that. And I want to feed this angel. And he said, look, even if you detain me, I will not eat of your bread. He said, if you're going to offer something, then you should offer it to the Lord. And Judges 13:16 says that Manoah did not know that this was an angel of the Lord. Hey, he was dealing with this individual, looking in his face, looking in his eyes, and talking with him, and he did not know that he was an angel. The woman said his countenance was like that of an angel, but they still wasn't sure that it was an angel. She called him a man. He did not even know that he was dealing with an angel. And the Bible tells us to be careful to entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unawares. Now, I don't know how many I've entertained, but I take that instruction very literally. To be careful how you treat people. Be careful how you interact with people. Because you don't know really who you're talking to sometimes and who you're dealing with. They just look like an old dirty person on the street. They just look like a common man or a common woman walking up to you, when it could very well be an angel of the Lord. We should be very careful. That's why you should be careful how you treat people. And I keep saying that. Be careful how you treat people. It could be an angel. And it could also be a crazy person with a knife. It could be a crazy person too. But we do it because, you know, the Bible says sometimes we entertain angels unawares. But you can't go wrong by being nice to everyone that you meet. You just can't go wrong. See, they'll go on to the next. I made a quote to my wife that my great uncle told me years ago. He said, if you see a fool acting like a fool, leave him alone, because there's another fool down the road waiting on him. Right? Yeah, don't you be that fool, in other words. You let him pass. There's another fool waiting. Mm-hmm. So the angel said there, I won't eat of it. This time Manoah asked, well, what's your name? Angel said, you know, why do you ask my name? Seeing that it's secret. And the angel said, why do you want to know this? So Manoah took the kid and he took the meat offering and he offered it upon a rock. And the angel did wondrously in their eyes. It's amazing. It came to pass when the flames went up towards heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flames of the altar. Yeah, that would have got my attention. And when they saw this, Manoah and his wife fell on their faces to the ground. And Manoah told his wife, we're going to die. We're going to die. We've seen God. And his wife was a woman of faith. She just fell the notion. She says, look, if God wanted us dead, then he wouldn't have shown us the things that he's shown us. And he would not have given us the instructions that he's given us. So that's where the parents of Samson prepared for the birth and raising of their son. Amazing beginning. Just the beginning of this man, Samson. Judges 13:24-25 makes an announcement of the birth of Samson, it states that the child grew and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan. So Samson began to get used to this Nazarite experience that he was, and he began to operate in it and handle himself in within this Nazarite kind of vow. So folks there in the tribe of Dan knew him, and they could tell, and it might have spoken to their parents, and of course his parents taught him as well what the angels said. And so that says about him. But now we're going to fast forward there to Judges 14:1. All of a sudden, this man is kind of wandering off away from his home, and he goes down there to a place called Timnath, found a woman that he liked. Only problem was she was a Philistine woman. She was one of the people that were oppressing his people. But he found this woman. She must have been something to look upon. I think that he was visually moved by what he saw, because he didn't know this woman. But he liked what he saw. There had been no discussion there. But he wanted this woman. And he goes to his parents and he says, I've seen a woman. That shows you visual. I've seen this woman in Timnath of the Philistines. Get her for me. Get her. And so you imagine the concerns of his parents. They said, in essence, why can't you find a wife among your own people? Why would you go to these uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said again, get her for me. I think he might have been a little sterner the next time he said it. Get her for me. She pleases me well. There's the lust of the eyes. Going by sight. All that glitters, but ain't gold. Also, the scripture states that his parents didn't know that the Lord was behind this, because God was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Remember, it says that God was going to use Samson to begin to deliver, his people from the Philistines. So Samson and his parents took a trip to Timnath, and behold, it says that a young lion roared against Samson. Young lion is a strong lion. The young lions are the ones that run the old lions away from the pride, because it's a matter of who's the lion, who's the king of East there. And when the young lions gets of age, it's up to them to challenge the old lion and run him away. And typically, old lions, when they run away from the pride, starve in the jungle, cause the pride, the female lions did all the hunting. And they would drag the food back to the lion, and he'd sit there and eat and get fat. And so he wasn't a hunter. His teeth would have grown dim, and he wouldn't have the sharpness. And so this one of these young lions, that's a strong lion with sharp teeth, roared against Samson. And the Bible says that Samson took that lion and tore him like you would a kid, a small goat, a baby goat. He tore this lion. Do you know how you tear a lion and a dog? You put your hand right in their mouth, and you break those jaws. He's going to kill you. Yeah. But not if his jaws are broken. But I mean, if it's life or death, understand, you don't want to do that to anyone. But if it's life or death, if it's you or him, and you want to live. Yeah. You got two legs, they got four legs, do the math. It's one of those don't have a choice kind of ideas. Yeah, it'll be quick. Once you get it past a certain point, they can't shut it. You know? But that's not what this is about. I'm just graphically describing what happened with that lion. I don't think he tore the legs off and took the tail off. You can't hurt a lion like that, you know. I think he got his hand in his mouth and he busted that jaw. And the Bible says that he killed this lion. And he left him there, but he didn't tell his parents about it. He does something else that was forbidden. See, I think this Nazarite vow had this man covered, because he goes and he talks to this woman, which in the East is forbidden unless you're already betrothed. They couldn't have been betrothed. This was the first time he spoke to her. So he went right past that, and he went and talked with her. He was pretty bold. And she pleased Samson, the Bible says. And he later turned, he returned to take her, but on the way he found this carcass of the lion again. And somewhere says it was about a year later. But inside the carcass was a beehive. The bees had made a hive, and he found honey. And he reached down and got some honey and was walking and eating honey and gave some to his parents. And they didn't know where this honey came from. And so he got the girl. He got the girl. In Judges 14:10, Samson's father went down to the woman and they made a feast there in Timnath for his wedding. There was a total of 30 companions. We know them as children of the bride chamber and friends of the bridegroom. We'll see about one of these friends in a minute. I don't know why Samson did this, but I guess maybe they were having a good time and they might have had some drinks or something. So he puts forth this riddle. And he says, if you solve this riddle, you owe me. I owe you 30 changes of garments and 30 sheets. But if you don't solve it in 7 days, you owe that to me. And so he throws forth this riddle, and they struggled with the riddle. And then in Judges 14:14, the riddle is this. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. That was his riddle. That he said, solve it in 7 days, and I'll give you 30 changes of garments and 30 sheets. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. They were stumped. They could not solve that riddle. In 3 days, they were stumped. On the seventh day, and it's not necessarily the seventh day of the feast because she had more time to work on him, but they went to his wife and said, have you invited us here to this wedding to rob us? Are you trying? In other words, y'all are trying to get our valuables. You're trying to take our money. And they said, now you entice your husband to reveal the riddle, or we're going to burn your father's house with fire. Now you go and get that information for us. And she began to work on Samson. She was afraid. She began to work on him. And she cried. She says, you hate me. You don't love me. You put forth the riddle to these people of mine, and you haven't told me the riddle. And I thought it was funny. He says, I haven't even told my parents. Should I tell you? And she continued to cry and entice him for seven days of the wedding. She continued to bombard him with the tears and continued to bombard him with the accusations of not loving her. And finally, he gave in. He told her the meaning of the riddle because she just wore him down. He couldn't get away. He wouldn't leave her alone. She wore him down. And what she do? She goes and tells the people, because they're going to kill us. On the seventh day before the sun went down, the Bible says the men of the city said to Samson in Judges 14:18, they say, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And Samson said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you had not found my riddle out. That was another kind of a little play on words he did. And he realized, now that upset him. He got very angry about that. And the Bible says there in verse 19 that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he went down to a place called Ashkelon, which is about 24 miles away. And he killed 30 of them, of the Philistines, of their own people. And he took their clothing and their valuables. And he came back and he gave them to the ones that had solved the riddle by dishonest means. And then he does something. He returns to his father's house as though he had never been married. He was really mad. He didn't want nothing to do with this woman. He didn't want nothing to do with these people. And he left and he went back to his dad's house. The Bible says you should leave father and mother and cleave to your spouse. Well, he went back to his father's house because he was just that mad. But guess what her father did? He gave her to Samson's friend. I guess one of those wedding friends. He gave the man's wife away. That's what Dad did. But Samson got a little better about this, so he decided, it's time to go to my wife, and I'm going back to my wife. So Samson goes back, I'm going to go into my wife there. And he apparently got over his anger, and he decided to return. And the only problem here is that his father-in-law has given the wife away. So the father-in-law would not let him go in. What does he do? He offers him his other daughter, his younger daughter. Isn't she fairer than her? Why don't you take her instead of her? Can you imagine that? She's fairer than her sister. He avenged this. He got angry all over again. You know what he did? Samson had 300 foxes. Foxes. He ties them tail to tail, puts firebrand on the tails, and he releases them into the Philistine cornfield. Burned them all down. They took off running. That's what they thought. They took off running and burned. They say, who did this? Who did this? Samson. And when they learned who it was, they still burned the father and they burned Samson's wife. They burned the wife and the father. Made him mad again. He's going to avenge this. And a great number of those men of the Philistines was killed, died at the hands of Samson. Now, we got to remember that we're talking about faith. And we're looking at faith in the context of where we are today and where we live today. I've never known anyone on a Nazarite vow. I've only read of a few. And here's one that lived under a Nazarite vow. He was under the vow before he was born, before he was conceived. His mother had received instructions. So we're talking about a man of faith. But during that time, this man of faith had anger. He had vengeance. He was judging. And he was judging those in the place of Israel. And they found him. And they wanted to do something. Now, in Judges 15:9, his actions incited the Philistines. And they threatened war against God's people. And they say, why are y'all doing this? Why are y'all gathering against us like war? They said, we came to bind Samson. We came to get him and for the things that he's done to us. And they said, they made him wait. And 3,000 of the men of Judah went to Samson and said, look, the things that you've done have caused us problems. And we've got to arrest you and turn you over to the Philistines. And he promised, he says, look, just promise me that you will not kill me. And he said, we won't. And so they tied him up with new rope. And they took him and handed him over to the Philistines. And the scripture says the Philistines shouted when they saw him. They've got him. They shouted. And again, it says that the spirit, and there's got to be times of faith when it says that the spirit of the Lord, can you turn it on? Said that the spirit of the Lord once again came mightily upon him. And those new ropes, of course, that's pretty tough rope. It says those new cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burned with fire, and the cords on his arms just melted off. That's the spirit of the Lord coming mightily upon him, that those things just melted off of his arms. And he found this, you know the story of the jawbone of an ass that he found? They said a new jawbone of an ass, which means that there was still some moisture in there. And he took this jawbone, and that man slew 1,000 men with it. 1,000 men. And lest we forget, the reason Samson was born was to begin to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. That was his purpose. 1,000. I'm sunk with two coming at me. For sure, three. I'm through. Yeah, at my age, one would give me a fit, but I might make it past one.
But 1,000 with a bone of an ass's, from an ass's head, would come to you. And he had the Spirit of the Lord mighty upon him. And can you imagine? 100, 200, you're going 300, 400, 5, 6, 7, 8, 900, 1,000 men he slew in one battle with that one item, and then he threw it away from him. 1,000. One man. Yeah, you think that somebody said, man, what's all these bodies? But I don't know. I wasn't there, but I know the scriptures say he killed 1,000. That's a lot of fight. And that's a very strong man with quite a bit of stamina to continue to do that, one man after another, up to 1,000 men. I mean, even in a boxing ring, you get a break every so many minutes of fighting. You get to sit down and get some water and get some instruction. But he kept 1,000 of them. That shows just how powerful he was. But out of that 1,000 conquest, he had thirst. He was thirsty. Yeah. And he said, you mean to tell me, Lord, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase, you gave me this great conquest only to die of thirst? But then the Lord kind of clave and set a hole in that jaw, and water came out, and he drank, and he was strengthened. Judges 15:20 says that Samson judged Israel in the days of the Philistines for 20 years. 20 years he was doing these things. But now 16:4:21, he met this woman. He met Delilah. Ooh. He was visually inspired, so you imagine them, you know, she was a Philistine, and they might have had all of those things that make you, that distract you. And he met this woman, and boy, he loved this woman, Delilah. The lords of the Philistines, they continued to seek an occasion against this man. They continued. And they went to Delilah and said, now, we want you to entice him. And in reward, we will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money by today's standards. Now, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. Christ was sold into the sinner's hands for 30 pieces of silver. So they're promising her 1,100 pieces of silver to turn this man over. And she starts. She's going to be rich. She starts. And she says, please, please, tell me, where do you get your great strength? Tell me. Well, where does this come from? What can be done to overpower you? Not even the framing of the statement should tell him a whole lot that, wait a minute, why do you need to know where I get my strength from? But that was the way she framed it. Where and what can be done to overpower you? And he says, well, bind me with 7 green withes. And a withe is it's a pliable, tough piece of wood that's twisted together to form the shape of a rope. Bind me with 7 of those. So they bring 7 of those withes in. The man brings 7 withes in, and he's sleeping, and she ties them up, and she goes, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. The Philistines are upon you. And he jumped, broke them. Broke them out. He says that he broke them like they were bread. So she said, you've mocked me with lies. Now tell me, how can you be bound? He says, well, bind me with new rope that was never used, and I'll be like any other man. I'll be just as weak as any other man. So she bound him with rope. And she said, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon me, you, the Philistines are upon you. And he jumped up and he broke the rope. She said, till now you've mocked me and told me lies. Tell me, how can you be bound? And he says, well, weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and fasten them with a pin to the wall. And she did so. He had 7 locks because he couldn't cut his hair, so he had long hair, flat. I think it was flat. She put them all together and did what he said. And she says, the Philistines are upon you, the Philistines are upon you. And he got up and took off with the pen and everything still attached. It did not affect him. And she begins to put the real pressure on Samson. She says, how can you say I love you when your own heart is not with me these three times? Uh-oh. How could you do this? You're breaking my heart. Your own heart is not with me. You're telling me you love me. How could you say that? And your heart is not with me. And she pressed him every day, day after day, with these types of words. And the scripture says that his soul was vexed unto death. Vexed unto death. Ladies, I must say to you that there is a way that a woman can make a man wish he was dead. Make him wish he was dead because of that mouth. And he was vexed unto death. Whatever it takes, I've got to get her off my back. Get her off my back. And he says, there's never come a razor upon my head. Now I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Well, she wore him down. He should have took off. But he was so, the man had a weakness, and his weakness was for women. Loved women. And she was enough to hold him there. And it was obvious what she was going for, but yet it did not cause him to leave. But what he did not count on was her reaching his heart and causing him such great sorrow because he loved her so much, and how she cried and moaned and just was so sad because he kept mocking her and made her feel like nothing. And you say you love me, but you do this to me. Three times you've done the same thing. You couldn't love me. Okay. She realized that he had told her the truth. And she caused him to fall asleep on her knee. And when he fell asleep, she had a man to come in and cut off his hair. And she said, Samson, Samson, the Bible says she began to afflict him. I guess punching, afflict him, or doing something to him. Hitting him or sticking him or doing something to him. To afflict. She began to afflict him. The Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke, and he says to himself, I'm going to go out as other times before, and I'm going to shake myself. But he didn't realize that the Lord had departed from him. They took him, and they put out his eyes. I think they used hot iron, and they put out his eyes. And they took him, and they threw him into the lowest prison, doing the lowest work, grinding grain. And you know, those big old, like the mule walk around, those great big old grinding stones, they had to grind the grain. And they had him down there grinding grain. Thus was Samson humbled by the Philistines, at the hand of a woman. 1,000 men destroyed. I don't know the number of the first group that was destroyed, and others perhaps destroyed as well. 2,000 or 3,000 men destroyed. How embarrassing to get killed with the jawbone of an ass. They said, well, what did he have, a bow, a spear? They said, no, he had a bone. Yeah, he had the bone from a dead donkey. Killed him, you see. And he was valiant. One time, they wanted to kill him in the city, and he went out, grabbed the whole gate of the city, and went uphill with it, and put it on the top of the hill. He was just a pest to them. He was judging the Philistines for Israel. But the Bible says that something happened in this shocking account of this one time strongest man, I believe strongest man in the world, this man, God's man Samson. His hair began to grow back. Somebody wasn't watching that. His hair began to grow back. And as this was happening, the lords of the Philistines decided they're gonna have a big bash. They're gonna come together and do a great sacrifice to their god Dagon. Now, Dagon was a god that had the head of a woman and the rest of the body was the body of a fish. It's the sea god. It's their protector of the sea. And so they're gonna make great sacrifices. And they said, "Our God has delivered Samson to us, our enemy. Our God Dagon has done it. And he slew many of us, but finally our God delivered him." And after they had well drunk and their hearts were merry, you know what they say? "Hey, go get Samson so we can have some fun with him." Bible calls it make sport with him. "Bring him out here so we can have some fun with him." And so they called him out of the prison and they were having fun with him, making sport with him. I don't know, doing things that a blind man, it would aggravate a blind man. You could trip him down. You could go behind him and hit him. You could throw something on his head. That folks can't see. Oh, they were having a high time mocking Samson and having fun with him. The Bible says that this building was full of men. It was full of women. It says that on the roof of the building sat 3,000 people. And all of the lords of the Philistines were there. And all of the big wigs were there. And they were having a good time looking down at the spectacle. And something happened down there in that arena. While this was taking place, Samson called upon the Lord. Another act of faith. He called upon the Lord. He says, "Oh Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson, he had a little boy to lead him to the pillars that held up that house. He took hold of the two middle pillars, one in his right and the other in his left. He said, "Let me die with the Philistines," and he bowed himself with all of his might. He had the side of those buildings and he bowed with all of his might. The Bible says that that house fell upon the lords and all of the people that were in it. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. At one time. Yeah, he got all the rulers. And God began to deliver Israel from the Philistines at the hand of Samson. And even at the very end of his life, he destroyed more with that one last burst of strength, though he died in it, than he did in his entire life. So I kind of did a quick calculation. At least 3,000 there, 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass. Another group he killed. I know he killed 30 for the clothing, and then another group, we don't have a number. We're looking at 5,000-6,000 people or so. That one man, not an army, one man killed in his lifetime. Out of how many? Is that right? That would fill the stadium? That's a lot of people. So his people came. Of course, they searched through that to that debris, and they took his body, and they took it and buried it in the same grave where his father was located. Now, while this is a shocking account of the life of a man that's listed in the Hebrews chapter 11, faith called a thing, Samson was. We see him doing things and acting in ways where we go, man, that's not Christ-like, but it was judge-like. And he was a Nazarite, and somehow, some reason, when he killed those men, the law says you should not touch a dead body. But he had to touch him to get the clothes off of him. So I don't know. There's something going on with this Nazarite vow with this man that gave him leave to do a whole lot more than you would expect another to do. And remember this. The Old Testament is types. But remember, we're actually studying Hebrews chapter 11. We're studying the chapter of faith.